Thank you, and we'll resume with the second and final part of our candidate forum tonight. This is our candidates for County Commissioner. Sherry Kolb was unable to attend. I'll be reading a brief statement from her in a moment, but I'd like to introduce you to your candidates, John DeMattis, Bob Hancock, incumbent Bill Novotny, Norman Lee Sanford, and Jeff Shelley. And with that, I will pass over to Aaron.
Well, that was quick. Okay. We're going to start off. Opening statements from the candidates will go in alphabetical order. You have 2 minutes, and this is your opportunity to introduce yourself to the voters. We'll start with Mr. DeMattis. You have 2 minutes.
Thank you, Aaron. So first off, I just want to say thank you to 307 Net Radio for putting on this forum, and thanks for everybody for showing up. I think government is best when people are involved, and it's good to see people involved, and I hope to do that for the county as well. One thing I would like to say is bring your kids' kids, because we need a younger group up here to learn this process, And I understand everybody's busy, but, that's the way of the world, right? And if you don't stand up and take part of government, it'll take part of you. So, my name's John DeMattis. I'd be honored to be your next county commissioner. There will be nobody more ready to be county commissioner than I. I decided to run for county commissioner last fall. I've been going to the commissioners' meetings since then. And I can tell you that oftentimes, as Aaron can attest, that I'd be the only one from the public there. And I think there's a lot of reasons for that, And one of them is, the timing of the meetings. They're 9 o'clock on Tuesday mornings. Maybe we should change those meetings to 5:30 in the afternoon. Maybe we'll get a better turnout. I think we should put the meetings online, okay? You can go to any state committee meeting, and you can, participate online. You can, have your voice be heard. You can watch them online. Our cemetery district board, they have their meetings on Zoom, okay? These are the kind of things that need to be done to get people involved. We need to make it easy for people to be involved in government so that we can make the best decisions, for the county with everybody's input. So I've been, a lot of people, you probably know me from Up in Smoke, restaurant in town. My wife and I ran that for 12 years. We sold it last year. And, besides that, I have 35 years of food sales experience in the natural foods industry. Built a sales team and worked for Amy's Kitchen and went from, $48 million in sales to $600 million in sales, managing a team of 18 people, calling on key customers like Costco, Kroger, and Safeway. Thank you.
Okay. Bob Hancock, here's your opportunity. You have 2 minutes.
All right. Thank you once again, 307 Net Radio, for letting me speak again. I'm Bob Hancock, and I grew up in Buffalo from third grade on. Ginny and Skip Hancock are my parents, and I took a 30-year sabbatical and went out into corporate America. From that, I have learned a lot of things on how to be a better person. As I took a look at my job experience and see what's required for the county commissioner, I see a lot of parallels. One of the things that I need to do today is I have to paint a picture to the community that I am a good fit for this, and I think I will be able to do that. Some key words that I'm going to use is e-tools. When I say e-tools, it's how can we be more effective on taking advantage of technology. I'm not a gadget technology person, but I have seen the benefits of how technology can bring transparency. It can bring consolidation. It can bring efficiencies, but you need to understand that entire dynamic before you can quickly realize, how do I implement this? I bring those skill sets. Another word that I'm going to bring to you is ISO certification. ISO is required to be able to do any business over in Europe, and I was fortunate enough to be with GE when they broke off into ISO from just not a manufacturing requirements, but also into field service. What's important from that is that it's allowed me to better understand the bureaucracy, the importance of procedures and policies, because what it does is it makes sure that we are fair and equitable as we work with people in this community. The other thing that you're going to find about me is I'm approachable. I bring the leadership of education, of understanding, of pointing the finger to myself and not at individuals, because it's important for me to make sure I'm successful in communicating, making sure I understand what the community needs. So I am here to help. I grew up in this community, and I do feel that this culture allowed me to be successful in corporate America.
Okay. Mr. Novotny. You have 2 minutes.
Well, thank you very much to the moderators as well as to 307 Net Radio for organizing tonight's debate, and also to the folks at home who are listening who are not here in attendance. Thank you for taking an interest in your local government. My name is Bill Novotny. I've had the pleasure of serving as your county commissioner. I am presently the chair of the county commission. I've held that role for several years. I am a product of this community, born and raised here. Luckily, when my parents met at the University of Wyoming, my mother won out in the discussion of whose hometown were you going to move back to, because I don't think I would have fit in very well in Riverton. I attended Michigan State University on an academic full ride, where I also received a degree in international relations with a minor in ag business. From there, I went to work for Wyoming's senior senator. He was junior at the time, but Mike Enzi. Worked for Senator Enzi while I was out there. I was able to begin and complete a master's at the United States Naval War College in National Security Strategic Studies. I left Senator Enzi's office to attend Officer Candidate School for the United States Marine Corps. While I was there, we had a family emergency. I gave up my career and I came home to tend to my family. I'm very proud of that. I have been so honored to work for you over the last several years, solving the problems that are faced by this community, whether it's declining revenue, socioeconomic demographics in our community where we have a shortage of workers, where we have a shortage of affordable housing. I've taken the problems that we have faced head on and I've solved them. I've conducted myself professionally as I've run the commission. I'm very proud of the budgets that we produce over the years. I'm proud of the working relationships that I have with the other elected officials, because those are so critical in delivering the services that you all are dependent upon. So I look forward over the course of this evening to discuss what I've done as your commissioner and to ask for your continued trust to continue working for you each day. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Sanford, you have 2 minutes.
Hi. For you people that don't know me, I'm Norman Lee Sanford, and I'm running for office because I want to give back. Johnson County has been good to me and good to my family. I believe that we need to have level-headedness, and we are going into a growth spurt that we haven't been haven't seen for years, and it's going to happen. And so we got to be proactive and get out in front of it. As far as the school systems and everything, my children graduated from here and they've all thrived. And so I think what we need to do is, you know, tighten our budget and tighten our belts and make sure that we're here to serve everybody. Taxes are scary. I think there's a way that we can do things to help that. My thinking is, I don't have an agenda, and I don't have anything, and I will listen. And I'm probably the most approachable of all of us up here. So I will let you listen to Aaron, because he has a great voice.
Well, thank you. Mr. Shelley, here's your opportunity, 2 minutes.
Good evening. I'm Jeff Shelley. Running for county commissioner.
Jeff, pull that mic in towards you a little bit. Try that.
How's that?
Perfect. Better.
All right. Thank you guys for putting this on. I appreciate this. I was raised here in Buffalo. I've had several businesses here in Buffalo. I've been very fortunate to be able to stay here. I've had a lot of my friends that I graduated with that had to leave, and they're just jealous that they're, you know, they're not here in Buffalo. So kind of like Norm said, I'm just, you know, I've served on several boards with the YMCA, the Boys and Girls Club, the pool board. I spent 17 years in the fire department. So I've been around a lot of these special districts, been around some of the issues we've had. And I just want to give back to the community because they have supported me throughout all my endeavors, and I'm just glad that I have an opportunity to do this. You know, I have a 15-year-old son that's still in high school here, and I hope, you know, that he can grow up here and be able to live, because the way things are changing, it's really hard for these young folks to be able to stay around here. So that's what I am.
Okay. You're going to read, that's right.
So I'm going to read a prepared statement by Sherry Cole, who, as I mentioned before, is unable to attend. She says the following. Unfortunately, I had made prior commitments before being notified of the forum date and was unable to attend. I sincerely would have enjoyed the discussion and interactions. My name is Sherry Cole, and I am running for Johnson County Commissioner. Having a diverse background provides me the desire to be a stronger, fairer, and a more representative candidate. I have had four successful businesses and retired from my 30-year nursing career. Currently, I operate an online retail shop and strive to maintain my commitment to achieve positive business results on multiple platforms. After moving to Buffalo 45 years ago, I began caring for people's pets and attending college while raising four wonderful sons. I am married, and my husband is now retired from the Johnson County Sheriff's Department after 32 years. I received a degree as a registered nurse from Sheridan College and a bachelor's degree from the University of Wyoming. I continued to pursue higher education with a master's degree in nursing and then attained a second master's degree in healthcare management. Personal interests include fishing, hunting, and crafting. I credit my family for instilling ethical values in both my individual and professional behavior. A community figure should be a role model, make responsible decisions, and maintain public trust. Why does one run for office? Looking at both ends of the spectrum, candidates should not run for political recognition, money, or personal interests. I do not want to be somebody. I want to do something. If it's not right, you challenge it or you become part of the problem. I want to build a better future for the residents of Johnson County. Preserving our way of life, our historical connections, and our love for God and country is vital. I want to make sure every county resident from all walks of life has a voice. No one is entitled to special treatment due to their status or profession. County commissioners need to be held accountable as their decisions impact lives. I'm running for county commissioner to be an honest voice for those who pay my salary. I place a high priority on the quality of my work and completing projects in an efficient and logical manner. A major priority is the management of the county budget by demonstrating good judgment when making financial decisions. Careful consideration must be given to the cost implications of those decisions, and with my business experience in establishing realistic budget objectives, my operating decisions will be made in conformance with revenue and budget limitations. Budget variances need close attention with regard to making the appropriate adjustments and necessary justifications. A continuous search for hidden cost improvements is pertinent in the development of short and long-range goals and with overall budget oversight. It is important to represent the county interests accurately at state and local levels. There should be no personal agenda factored into those communications. Team contributions and decisions are not made independently. Working with the various boards, other elected officials, and constituents is extremely important. I believe we can always find common ground in the face of adversity. I am asking for your vote as County Commissioner.
Okay, gentlemen, we'll go ahead and get started with our question portion of the forum. We have six questions for you guys, and we're going to rotate through as we have done in the past. The first question, and this will go to Mr. Sanford first. So, and it's kind of a long one, so bear with me. What do you think is the role of a county commissioner to begin with? What do you think the commissioner's role is in attracting and retaining a vibrant, economically viable, and sustainable community? How would you facilitate that? What would be your priority? And what can you do to ensure Johnson County has a positive and sustainable long-term future? You have 3 minutes.
Well, to start with, I wish you'd have broken it up a little more. But anyway, the county commissioner, we have to do the budget and take care of all the buildings that the county owns so that they're maintained. We have some new courthouses and things that we have to make sure that we don't let get run down. And then as far as the county roads, that's a big cut out of our budget. I happen to have trailed cows and sheep on probably 540 miles of those roads, so I personally know that it takes a lot to keep them up. But what we need to do is be budget conscious, but we need to look ahead and decide how we're going to function with the great influx of people that we're going to have. And that they're coming. And so we have to be proactive and look into what's going to happen. We need to look for new sources of revenue, but we still have the National Forest right out of our back window. If the Sheriff's Department's doing most of the search up there, they need to help give us more funds than they do. And we can look in and make more money by just tightening our budget and looking around for new opportunities.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Hancock, you have... Oh, let me repeat the question.
Thank you.
What can you do to ensure Johnson County has a positive and sustainable long-term future? That's the basic question. You have 3 minutes.
You know, I think Johnson County's been doing it, doing that already. And what I'm here to do is to make sure that we continue to do that. We are seeing growth, and we're seeing growth that has some people concerned. We have some that said they don't want the growth. We have others that say, yes, we do. But here's what we need to make sure that we do. We need to make sure that we're maintaining our existing infrastructure. And that's service delivery, which is an industry that I came out of. I know that I was in the healthcare industry, but dealing with service issues, there's a lot of parallels. Number one, dealing with frustrations. Number two, minimizing expenses. I have the skill sets and the ability to come in and take a look at things at a macro level and then be able to dive in at a micro level to see how we can become more efficient. The other thing that we want to think about are the types of industries that we want to bring into this community. Agriculture has to be paramount. Tourist industry still needs to be important because we have a lot of businesses in Johnson County that rely on that. So we're always going to want to make sure that we have access to public lands. We also want to make sure that we maintain the roads for the individuals that are using resources here in Johnson County, whether it's for people to get to and from work, whether it's for the agriculture side of the business to be able to get their cattle or their products to and from market. But we need to ensure that we continue to have a sound infrastructure. There is some concerns, though, that I hear in this community, and we may not have all of the resources that we think we have, especially here in Buffalo. And Clear Creek is a big concern, and water. Are we always doing the right thing? I think there are things organically that we can do within Johnson County that can help reduce our water usage. Common sense goes a long way. I've been told I'm pragmatic. I thought that meant a goofball, but I looked it up and it means what I just said. Common sense. So you'll find that I'm going to be very conscientious on wanting to understand the details, because the details is where we're able to get the efficiencies. The details is where we have to make the changes. Some of the simplest changes that I think that we can do, and I won't know until I get into the position if this community allows me to, is better understanding how we're doing administrative tasks. Is there a lot of duplication? Are there things that maybe we can start consolidating? The other thing is I want to better understand how we can implement e-tools. These type of things and e-tools do make sense. technology makes sense. What you want to do with technology is make sure you enter the data once, and then from there you can manage the data and take a look at it.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Shelley, same question, I'll repeat it. What can you do to ensure Johnson County has a positive and sustainable long-term future? 3 minutes.
Well, I think the strategic planning is a big thing that I believe in, and bringing people in to help from outside sources. You know, I hear a lot of people talking about this and that, but Buffalo's unique on these different things that I've served on, that we take care of each other more internally, and so by bringing that outside look and letting them see how we really work from group to group, I think it would benefit what we are doing, because we are going to grow, there's just no doubt. The management of the water, like you guys were talking about, it's going to be something that we're going to have to check into, like through the aquifers and that. But as far as maintaining buildings, you know, I've dealt with that already on these other boards. We build these beautiful things, and then 20 years later, we have nothing. So one of my biggest things is just taking care of what we have, so when these people come in, they still have nice facilities to deal with.
Okay, thank you. Mr. DeMattis, same question, I'll repeat it. What would you do to ensure Johnson County has a positive and sustainable long-term future?
Did you ask initially about the role of the commissioners?
Yeah, that goes into this.
Okay.
Yep.
So I
can repeat the whole thing if you'd like.
Yeah.
Okay.
Please.
What do you think is the role of the county commissioner, and what do you think the commissioner's role is in attracting and retaining a vibrant, economically viable, and sustainable community? Okay.
Thank you. Well, I think that the beauty of Wyoming and Buffalo itself is going to be what keeps the growth going, as we've all seen. You know, I moved here 25 years ago, or bought property here 25 years ago for just that. I moved here for the mountains, lack of people and lack of taxes. And, you know, the state hasn't grown that much since then, you know. But we're experiencing it now, and it just amazes me when we look at the 2020 census, how Buffalo and Johnson County supposedly lost population, which is hard for me to comprehend. But, you know, what can we do? Obviously, we got to plan for growth. I've been going to the planning meetings, and, you know, one of the things I think that needs to happen is the county needs to coordinate with the city on their planning and the opportunities. You know, there's a lot of different developments out there that are in the county today that are going to be in the city tomorrow as they're annexed in. A good example of that is the Matherson development up off of Main and Airport. There's 87 acres up there that a developer out of Gillette wants to put 102 homes in. That's how he would do it in the county. Now, if it was done in the city and he had to put in curb and gutter, that could be potentially 250 homes. That's a tremendous growth for Buffalo. And I would really question whether the city could handle it just with two access points. And as you know, Bob said, you know, water is going to be an issue for that. They wanted to bring in sewer and water up there from the city. You know, so it's going to be a real touchy subject. I think one of the other things we need to do is we need to look at land use. You know, some of the regs that the county's working off are pretty old. And, you know, maybe Jim needs help. Jim Waller there in the planning, you know, committee. He's got a full-time job, and there's a lot of homes that are being developed, and somebody needs to stay on top of it. One of the most interesting things that I found in going to some of these meetings is 70% of the homes in Wyoming have a septic system, okay? And as somebody said, I think it was Richard Tass, yeah, made a comment about, you know, they're putting in these smaller developments, and you got a well and you got a septic system side by side, you know, and those septic systems don't always last that long, okay? You can get 25, 30 years out of it if it's done right. So, you know, those things need to be addressed. I think, you know, Richardson Park is a good example of that. A lot of those systems are going to need to be addressed here in the near future, and there needs to be a plan to do that. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Mr. Novotny, did you want to repeat the whole thing or just the...
I think I've got Aaron. And so okay. I'll just start with the role of the county commission. We have three commissioners under Wyoming statute. You can have up to five. And the role of a commissioner is primarily administrative. The chief budget officer of the county is actually the county clerk. The commissioners set the top lines through the budget. We pass that over to the county treasurer, who figures out how we're going to appropriate those dollars and raise those. And all of those things are governed by statutes. And the role of commissioners are actually an extension of the state, and we are told through statute what we are or are not when the statutes are silent on things, and we really have to pay attention to the may and shall in clauses. And so these are critical things that you have to understand, and the role of commissioners are primarily administrative. We oversee the employees, manage the county assets, and then, of course, the most important part is setting that budget. In terms of setting this vibrant and this sustainable community, I'm really proud that we are working towards all of those long-term plans. County has a long-term five-year plan on our IT infrastructure. In 2016, we completed with University of Wyoming a socioeconomic study on the county, which then led to 2020, the update of and actually the creation of a natural resource plan for the county. First time that's ever happened. That was funded primarily through the legislature, and all 23 counties now have one of those. Johnson County's land use plan, which governs a lot of how development occurs because we do not have zoning in this county, has not been updated since 2005. Included in this budget, because we were finally able to, is $150,000 to update that land use plan that will help guide us through future development. That plan is only going to be as good as the citizens who are willing to volunteer and serve on the steering committee that shapes that before it comes to the commissioners and also goes through the Administrative Procedures Act, which allows for public comments. I'm proud of the work that I've done on water. Some of you folks were able to attend the water strategy sessions that I called with the state engineer's office, with the conservation district, because I, too, am very, very concerned and key in that land use plan. And also I would pledge to you that I will work on developing a water strategy for the county in the next year or 2 years, because really that's never been done. And I'm not aware of any county in Wyoming that has a long-range water strategy. I think that our growth is going to continue. We're going to have serious issues that we're going to have to confront in terms of housing. We're going to have serious issues in terms of workforce. How we do those is through working with the city of Buffalo, the town of KC, Sheridan College, and we work with industry, because it is not government who should be creating or dictating. It's the private sector, and we need to ask ourselves, what is government doing to get in the way of handling the growth or limiting things so that the private sector can come in and address those needs. But I'll talk about property taxes hopefully later, because I do have a plan how we're going to address your rising property taxes. Mine went up 30%, and I know it's impacting all of us.
Okay, thank you. Move on to question two, and we'll start with Mr. Novotny this time, after you get hydrated. What do you think the commissioner's involvement and or oversight of individual departments and special use districts should be?
All right. Well, Aaron, that is a great question. And so we'll start with the departments. There are departments within county government that have department heads that report directly to the commissioners. You then have the other elected officials who have autonomy over their offices and their staff. The commissioners authorize the number of positions that they have. We give the overall salary numbers. We provide the benefit package. But beyond that, they are controlling of their staffs, their budget, and actually most of those offices are only required that the individual has to report to work one day a month. That's a great old statute that they probably need to go in and change. With that, we also have to then provide them with suitable workspace. And I'm proud of whether it's the building that was built in 1884 that the commissioners decided needed 18-foot ceilings back then, or the buildings that were built just recently that the commissioners decided needed 18-foot ceilings. And now I've got to figure out how to heat and cool those buildings, especially now when energy prices that we're dealing with as a consumer are up 40%. So you have some direct supervision over your department heads, then they sub-supervise the employees within that. As it comes to special districts, some districts, depending on how they were created under state statute and how then the enacting clauses of those are put together, commissioners have direct authority. Take, for instance, the Weed and Pest District. We appoint the individuals to that. We appoint the individuals to the Solid Waste District. We have control over their boards and their budgets. On the Weed and Pest, as an example, commissioners can actually go in and line item those budgets. When it comes to some of the other special districts where they are in state statutes and fall under health, welfare, and safety, we have nothing. And when it comes to the school district, we have no oversight over their mill levies, other than we are required by state law to levy the mills that they request, and that's 52 mills. So if you wonder where your property tax is going, 52 of those mills on that bill go to support the schools. One of those mills supports the rec district that the school board has chosen to levy, as well as there's another that goes to Bochy's. I'm proud to say that I actually, as a commissioner, have rescinded what a special district has asked for a budget. We cut the cemetery district's request because it was unreasonable, and we cut it back to a level that was exactly what they needed to operate. They threatened to sue us. I was proud of that, and I will do it again if I need to.
Okay, thank you. Mr. DeMattis.
Yes.
I will repeat the question.
Thank you.
What do you think the commissioner's involvement and or oversight of individual departments and special use districts should be?
Well, in the past, when I've had employees and worked with different departments, I worked with everybody on a regular basis. And I made it my point to not micromanage, but to understand what everybody was doing, what their responsibilities were, how they managed it, did they have the resources they need, and, you know, did they have all the tools to get the job done properly. I plan to do the same thing as a county commissioner if you choose to elect me. You know, there's a lot of responsibility, and there's a lot of different boards out there. I've been going to board meetings on a regular basis. You know, one of the things I found out this week is I was at the airport board meeting, and I found that the commissioners in January voted to increase the hangar lease fees, you know, and it hasn't been implemented yet. So somehow the commissioners took the lease agreements from the airport board and took them back to the county, and they were supposed to implement the increases on the leases, and it has yet to happen, and that's been 7 months now. At that same meeting, there was somebody who was trying to extend the lease agreement, and the board was a little confused on what the level of lease should be, and it was pretty confusing for everybody. So I think those are the kind of things you got to get involved in. You know, I've been going to, you know, a lot of the special district meetings, a lot of the board meetings. You know, a great example of a board that's doing a good job is the Solid Waste Board. You know, they created a nice reserve fund of close to $5 million, and they're building a new dump, and they're spending that money to build the new dump. And their intent long term is once they get that done and get their reserves kind of solidified, is to get off their mill levy. And I think working with these boards, those are the ways you can get those kind of things done.
Thank you. Okay. Mr. Shelley, I'll repeat the question. What do you think the commissioner's involvement and or oversight of individual departments and special use districts should be? 3 minutes.
Well, as a commissioner, I don't think you're there to micromanage any of that. I think you need involvement. Just, you know, like everybody said here, you're going to about get the same answer from all five of us. I mean, we're not going to be in there micromanaging. We're not going to be in there to the treasurer saying, hey, what's this? Where's this money at? You have to have faith in your people. and you have to have communication with all your people. And, you know, that's something that I'm pretty strong about. I mean, I've built great communications and relationships with people because I'm just very easy to talk to. I guess my biggest thing is you can't micromanage. As commissioners, we're there to kind of take care of our budget through roads, through facilities, through personnel. I don't think we're there to manage all the special districts or special districts. That's it.
Okay. Thank you. Mr. Sanford, I'll repeat the question for you. What do you think the commissioner's involvement and or oversight of individual departments and special use districts should be? 3 minutes.
Well, I think the special need districts, if you have a $3 million chance to have, but you can survive on $1.5 million, I don't think you should use everything that's budgeted for you. Let's live within your means and needs. I think that, just like Jeff did, I think that if you hire good people, you can watch what they're doing and follow through and manage what they're doing, but you have to be there to help them and facilitate. My belief is there's a lot of money out there that is being spent because their budgets are so high. I'm always amazed that the school district has so much money and then they all of a sudden say we don't have it, but we have nothing to do with that. But I think everybody needs to tighten their budget, and the county commissioners are to make sure the budget stays within our guidelines, and we're there to make sure that if there's some resources we're not using, that we make them available for all the special need districts. And I liked it, what the dump's doing. I think they are doing an excellent job.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Hancock, I will repeat the question for you. What do you think the commissioner's involvement and or oversight of individual departments and special use districts should be? 3 minutes.
Good question. You know, I look at that as silo of protection. And from corporate America, I've learned that each area that I've had to go into, they all don't want to tell you what's going on because they want you to think that they are the most important thing going on. Or without that particular department, this whole company won't be successful. The key for me that I have learned to do that is, number one, understand what those departments do. Make sure that they do have the tools and the resources that they need to do to become efficient. Things are dynamic. So what worked for them a while ago may not work today in today's environment. We're constantly changing. One of the things that I want to make sure that I do is I'm approachable and I'm not that guy that points the finger. I always want to pull the thumb back and say, how do I need to do something differently? I do know that occasionally I wear my emotions on my sleeve because I am passionate about wanting to be good and helping the community. But that doesn't mean I'm still not approachable. I have ideas on how we could put efficiencies in place. Budgets are there for a reason, and you need to make sure that each department has the right tools and understands where every single dollar is going. They just can't, you know, casually say, well, I'm not 100% sure, or we might need it here. You're going to have to be able to demonstrate how and why you're spending those dollars. I will always be around putting tools in place for those that are in leadership roles. But the tools aren't just for the leaders. They also have to be for their teams, whether it's soft skill training, whether it's cross training. But we always want to think about how do we continue to put efficiencies in place, because we are a county government. We do provide municipalities to the community that the private sector cannot. So I'll take a lot of my business acumen that I've learned over the years and I'll implement it to ensure that we're efficient in what we're doing, that everybody that has a municipality understands what we're trying to do as commissioners, and make sure that we're always fair and equitable on how we approach and solve problems.
Okay, thank you. We'll move on to question 3, and first up this time will be Mr. Shelley. And this is not as long and drawn out as the last question, but still a three-parter. So the First part, it's been said that being a county commissioner is one of the most full-time, part-time jobs there is. How will you balance your time to make sure that the county business gets your proper attention? And what would be your approach to doing that? And what would be your priority? Mr. Shelley, you have 3 minutes. Or excuse me, 2 minutes.
Well, you know, I had bighorn meat for 20 years, so long hours is not a big issue for me. I do believe this, especially, you know, if I'm lucky enough to be voted in, it's at least a 40-hour plus for that first year and a half. The learning curve is going to be huge with the transition of a new clerk and everything else. It's going to be a big learning curve. So I have no troubles sitting down and spending nights reading and learning.
That's it? Okay, thank you. Move on, Mr. Hancock. Same question, and I will repeat. How will you balance your time to make sure that county business gets your proper attention? What would be your approach to doing so, and what would be your priority? 2 minutes.
Okay. Well, first of all, I'm retired, so that kind of gives me a little bit of latitude to be able to do the job properly. But I, too, am not one that hesitates from working hard. You'll find that I'm going to be that individual that's going to be out on projects to understand how we put a bridge in, to understand how we go about taking care of our roads. You also need to understand the service side of it and maintenance and knowing, are we following proper maintenance? One of the things I don't have a problem with and never will is working long hours. The things that I will be taking advantage of is wanting to make sure that I have access to email so that I can take a look at things while I'm on the road, putting efficiencies into my day. Also, you'll find that I'm the type of individual that carries around my notebook, and I put disciplines in place to ensure that I understand what's going on. And normally what I'll do is on Friday evenings, I look at my notebook, put a summary together, and from that summary, I want to make sure that I am focused on the goals and objectives that have been established by this community. As we assess new problems and new problems come in, you need to make sure that what you're getting is accurate information. And I do feel that I have those skill sets to be able to go in and take a look at that, understand the details, and question appropriately to be able to understand how can we become more efficient, what is it that we need to do to continue to be sustainable, and also understand that there's a lot of reasons why we do things the way that we do them, and it's because tasks take time. So I will make sure as an individual that I do get up to speed and understand those processes.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Sanford, I will repeat the questions. How will you balance your time to make sure that the county business gets your proper attention? What would be your approach to doing so, and what would be your priority? 2 minutes.
Well, I'd really like it if everybody'd start their mornings like I do at 5, and then we could have a lot more hours. But basically, I have time to spend, and it's a full-time job. When they call it a part-time job, it is not. If you go and have each of the three commissioners split up all the boards and everything they have to go to, you're spending more than 40 hours a week. I really think that I have the time, and I actually have the experience of talking to people in other counties, and I have friends that are county commissioners in other counties, and I'd like to be able to use their input on making us the best county in the state.
Okay, thank you. And we'll go to Mr. DeMattis, and the question is again, how will you balance your time to make sure the county business gets your proper attention? What would be your approach, and what would your priority be? Wow. 2 minutes. That was a tough one.
Well, I'm lucky enough to be retired as well. And once I decided I was going to run for county commissioner, I started to make that commitment already. I've been going to commissioners' meetings, like I said, since last fall. I've been making the rounds to the various board meetings and special districts, and I've learned something in all of them. And there's different needs and different opportunities at every district and every board. And I think it's important, like I said, to get around, understand what each department needs, and make sure they have the resources. As far as time goes, you know, it is going to be a full-time job. There's no doubt about it, especially initially working with everybody and understand things. And then one of the things I want to do is I want to reach out to the community and see what their needs are. You know, I think I said this earlier, but it's so important for people to be involved in their government. If you're not involved in government, you can't be part of the decision. A great example of that is the cemetery board. When they raised their funeral rates, it infuriated a bunch of people. You know, they got 1,200 signatures together and they brought it to the meeting, you know, after it happened. You know, they voted on it again, but at that point it was a little bit too late. So you got to get people involved ahead of time so that they know what the issues are. And my intent is to let people know what the issues are, get them involved so we can all make a good decision for this community.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Novotny, do you want me to repeat it or have you got it?
Nope, and I think you know me, and you know how hard I work on your behalf every day. And I approach this job that is in state statute as a part-time job, 110% full-time. I'm available early in the morning. Our Road and Bridge folks work 4/10s. So when you need to meet with the Road and Bridge supervisor, you go in early. On Saturday morning, when Sheriff Odenbaugh, who's sitting in the back, called me to find out about whether or not we would have resources to get a helicopter in, because in search and rescue, actually, the checkoff dollars that people pay when they buy hunting and fishing licenses is what pays for you to go out and find people. That's a reimbursable. Unfortunately, that is not reimbursable if it's a recovery. And so Rod was going to call to see if we had to get a helicopter in to recover the remains of those people if we would have the dollars. Luckily, we didn't have to do that. I work full-time. One of the best things that Commissioner Greenwell and I did after we came in was we asked that each commissioner have a laptop. I take my laptop home every night. It enables me to work late, to study statutes, rules, whether it's state and federal that are being put out. I carry my phone. I get emails on that. You know, when we came in as commissioners, there used to be only one email address for the commissioners. It was commissioners@johnsonco, which to me was insane. You can email that now, and it's going to go to all the commissioners, but you're going to get a response from my email address, or you can email me directly. Just like I answer your calls, I don't tell you how hard it is to go into the grocery store or shop because somebody is going to ask you a question about the county roads or anything. So you know that I'm at the meetings. One of the cool things also that this group of commissioners brought in, prior to us, there were no liaisons to the special district. We implemented that. We also implemented the process of having hearings with them, which is now state law as a result of the work that we did with the Special District Task Force that then took their recommendations to the legislature. And so I'm really proud of those. I work for you every day, and I'm so proud of that.
Okay, thank you. Move on to question 4. Excuse me. And we will start with Mr. Demanis. And the question is, you would be elected to represent everyone in Johnson County. Not everyone will have voted for you or may not share all of your opinions. Do you think it is important to keep in touch with your constituents throughout the term, or does your election give you a mandate to act as you see fit without consultation? If you will consult the public, how will you do so?
Well, I think I've already stated that I'd like people to be involved. Right, and that's everybody. That's everybody in this room. That's everybody in this community. And that's what makes a better government. That's what makes a better community. So if I'm lucky enough to be elected, I will represent this community. For those of you that would have the opportunity to frequent our restaurant, I might have been the person that served you. I might have been the person that cooked the food. I might have been the person who was washing the dishes. Okay, and because it was about service. It was about giving our customers what they needed to have a good experience. So as a county commissioner, I think it's the same thing. Everybody in the community needs to be served, you know, and I will do my best to do that.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Sanford, I'll repeat. Do you think it's important to keep in touch with your constituents throughout your term, or does your election give you a mandate to act as you see fit without consultation? If you will consult with the public, how will you do so?
As I previously stated, I don't have an agenda, and I promise to work for all the constituents in Johnson County. I think that you need to go to KC, you need to go around. Your problem is, a lot of times, they don't think you're approachable. And so I think that my best benefit would be, you can come talk to me, and if you've got a problem, we can solve it. I'm kind of a problem solver.
Okay.
That's it.
All right. Thank you.
And I'll wash dishes.
Mr. Novotny, would you like me to repeat it, or do you have it?
No, okay. I've got it. Thank you. And this is a great question, because you are a representative of the people, and that's the way I've always approached things. I am available and accessible as you have thoughts and opinions on issues that are either before the commission that are a hot button or maybe a long-range, long-term issue that we need to work on. And so I'm available and approachable. I think if you look at the record and the way we've run this county, we've run it very well. I run and am a fiscal conservative. I run this county in a fiscally conservative way, and I'm proud of the record. In the face of declining revenues and a lot of challenges, whether it was from delinquent taxpayers or the way the Wyoming statutes were constructed that really put our county at disadvantage, I've worked hard every day. While I've done that, I've been available to you to solve your problems, and I'm really proud of my record. And I thank you for that opportunity to serve each of you every day, because I view this job just like my campaign theme is. It's all Johnson County all the time.
Thank you. Mr. Hancock. Want me to repeat it?
Nope.
You're good? Okay. 2 minutes.
You know, you're hearing a common theme here, being approachable. So one of the things I want to add to that, of course, always being approachable, is there an opportunity to put some rhythm in place to where maybe there are some regular meetings, to where you're listening to the community? Maybe we create a let's go have coffee with the commissioners somewhere, and we rotate throughout Johnson County. But one of the things, though, that you will always find with me is I'm fair and equitable. I really don't care how you voted. If this community decides to bring me in, then that's who I serve. And if you voted for somebody else, that's fine. If you're angry with me, that's fine. I have dealt with those complex situations a lot. There's nothing like a CEO and physician yelling at you in a meeting because things didn't go well. I don't take it personal. I don't take it as a personal attack. I understand that people have frustrations. Again, we are providing services to the community. Service delivery typically means there are frustrations because something didn't happen to an individual that they thought they should. So I will always be fair and equitable. I always want to be approachable. And I think we can start thinking out of the box a little bit, and how do we as commissioners get more exposure to the community? That I'm not certain at this point.
Okay. Thank you. Mr. Shelley, would you like me to repeat it? Okay. Do you think it is important to keep in touch with your constituents throughout your term, or does your election give you a mandate to act as you see fit without consultation? If you will consult the public, how will you do so?
Well, I think you are totally open to be, you know, approached by everybody. I mean, for me, I'm out in the community. I'm out in the high school. I coach a lot of different sports. I'm down in KC quite a bit. So, you know, for me, I'm out there. I'm easy to find. I'm not a small guy. I don't hide very well. So I am, you know, super approachable. I don't think that you're above anybody in this position. I think you are there to serve the community, whether they vote or not vote for you. No matter what, I will be there for the community.
Okay, thank you. Looking over my question here real quick, give me a second. Okay, we'll move on. Question 5. We'll start with Mr. Hancock. You'll have 2 minutes. I'll read this, and it, It's long. Bear with me. Transparent and open government. We've all discussed this. Okay. Many people expect and want that, and it's something that candidates have expressed that is important. Many have expressed frustration with the Johnson County government website. Not only is it hard to navigate, but information is not sufficiently comprehensive. County commissioners have the responsibility for the Johnson County government website. How important a tool is this, and what priority would you give it? Also, what is your opinion on using IT and digital media in local government? How would you make changes, and how IT is currently being used? What do you think is the role of modern technology in both in terms of keeping the community informed, but also in assisting the process of the county's business? It's kind of
good question.
Drawn,
it's a long question, yeah. But I feel confident I can answer this.
Okay.
If you remember earlier in this discussion, I said the key to data management is putting the information into the system one time. So that way you know it's always there. Ideally, we would like it to be the end user is the one that puts that information in. So then you know it's there, it's accurate, and you don't need to mess with it anymore. So as we sit here and I take a look at efficiencies, how do we implement those efficiencies? So I'm going to give you an example. There's no reason why a project manager who has to give updates on their projects can't have that information posted to the web. I'm not 100% convinced that we need to have a dedicated person to put that information out there. What we need to do is put the responsibility into the correct person's hand and make sure they have the tools to be able to do that. Another item that you're going to find me looking at is efficiency comes from the administrative side. How do we get more tasks done with fewer people? And I've seen the benefits of technology. It does work. But here's going to be the biggest challenge that we have, is there is a gap. There is a generation that doesn't understand the importance of technology. They didn't grow up with it. So we need to make sure that we still give them access to that information. Even though it's in paper form, we need to devise a system that allows that to be able to be implemented and work. I think that type of a solution is real simple. It's called a mailing list. And then, of course, we've got the robustness of the Buffalo Bulletin that does very well at posting on what goes on in this community. But I support technology, but it has to be smart technology and not gadget-related. Has to put efficiency into the community.
All right, thank you. We'll move on to Mr. Shelley. Would you like me to repeat it?
Yes, please.
Okay. How important a tool is IT and the County Commission website, and what priority would you give it to it? Also, what is your opinion on using IT and digital media in local government? Would you make changes on how it's currently being used, and what do you think is the role of modern technology in both in terms of keeping the community informed, but also assisting the process of the county's business? Two minutes.
So I'm not a technology guy, okay? Let's get that out there. My parents are not technology people. We serve the older population of Johnson County. If we have, I can look out here and see how many of you guys can run your smart TVs. I mean, they're tricky. So when we talk about all this technology, we need to, to me, looking at who's here today, I think if you open it up, like we talked about, maybe to more different times for meetings, I don't know that putting it on the internet is going to be the answer for all this all the time, because there's too many people out here that don't understand how to use that technology. And I don't know how you plan on setting them down to teach that. So I guess the whole technology thing to me, I think is a great idea, sounds simple, but reality of it, I think it's going to be more frustrating and people will give up. I think more open meetings or better times is going to be a better solution.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Novotny.
Well, this is a great question, and I'm proud of where the county website is, because when I came into office, it was really bad. Unfortunately, we have not had the available budget to make continued updates, and I think certainly it can be improved. You also have to remember there are what sometimes we consider a little bit arcane state statutes that we have to follow, whether it's publications of certain things in the paper of record, or notices that have to go out by certified mail. So some of these things are not as easy as just saying, oh yeah, we'll just put it up on the website. I also want to talk about the security of our system, because we are constantly being have hackers trying to break into our system. And I want to just go over a couple of the systems that we have. So between the clerk's office and the treasurer's office, they work with a system called Tyler Tech that allows those offices to talk back and forth, to do your titles, to record your taxes. The assessor's office uses the CAMAS system. That's overseen by the Department of Revenue. Road and Bridge uses a system called PubWorks. The clerk of district courts, as Clerk Rhodes, who's here tonight, talked about yesterday, has a system that's overseen by the Wyoming Supreme Court. So to try to meld all of those systems, and honestly, some of those systems we don't want talking to each other, and certainly we don't want them to interface with the web page that is the essentially could be the front door to hackers. We had a county employee that I'm sorry to say got an email attachment, couldn't open it, emailed the spammers and said, how do I open it, took the county system down for a day. We are under constant threat. So you do everything you can to make the site as user-friendly as possible, but also understanding that there are foreign actors who are trying to hack us every day. Look at what happened in Teton County when they took that down. Look at the Campbell County Hospital a couple years ago where they had ransomware. So it's not as easy as just saying, oh, we got to do it like the private sector, because government is completely different, which is kind of driven by the different roles that each of the elected officials does within the overall system of government. Thank you.
Okay. Mr. DeMattis, would you like me to repeat that?
I think I've got it, okay. And I wouldn't put you through it again.
Thank you.
To me, I think that technology is, it's obviously the future, okay? I was the guy who, you know, back in the day, used to hand my letters to a secretary, and they typed them up, and I'd sign them, and they'd go out the door. And then when computers came around, I wanted to get involved because I knew that that was going to be the wave of the future. And it wasn't very long after that that there was nobody to type my letters, and I was doing my own, and they were all on email, right? I'll agree with Bill, you've got to be safe, right? There's a lot of things out there. But what I do know is this. You know, one of the things I stated earlier is the younger generation, that's how they live, okay? And I'm not suggesting that we change meetings and not do things like that. But what I'm suggesting is that we can put updates onto a web page that transfer to Facebook or to Twitter or to whatever account we decide we want to use. And I can tell you, talk to your kids, talk to your grandkids, they're on that unit daily, hours a day. And if you want them to be informed on what's going on in the county, that's going to be the way to get it to them. And to get people involved, I truly believe technology is that form. And to me, there's a host of ways of doing it. We have to be safe about it. But and I will tell you, you know, in going through the county website, it's challenging. I've been looking for stuff on there sometimes for weeks and still can't find it. And I'm pretty good at it, okay? So there definitely needs to be some updates. We need to have, you know, minutes posted for the various boards and special districts on a timely basis. We need to see budgets and those kind of things. And we also need to have meetings posted with the proper times and proper locations so that people can attend them if they choose to, and or they can click on it and watch it online and participate online as well. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Sanford.
I really want you to repeat it, but I'll go along without it.
Okay.
We really need to be cognizant of what's happening in the world. And so one place that we need to increase our budget for the county commissioners is we need to have safety, and we need to have we're ready to get online and watch the bots that's coming, because the Russians are sitting there wanting to take over Johnson County. But anyway, we spend money different ways, but we have to address the what's happening and the changes in society, and that's being on internet and safety. And so I'd say that's one place where we need to have a really good IT guy, and we really need to pay him well because they have to be good. And that's about all I have.
Okay, thank you. Last question. The setup is long, but the question is simple.
Is it a yes or no?
And I've said this before. But yeah.
Sure.
We're going to talk about growth, okay? There's a lot of talk of growth in Johnson County, and the county has seen an influx of people moving in, which has put pressure on the housing market, which is in turn increasing interest among developers to create more subdivisions. Planning and zoning, as well as building regulations, have existed only in draft form for a considerable time. Proper planning is needed for both existing and new infrastructure, such as water, sewer, roads, etc., to cope with all of that growth. What would you do to ensure proper future planning and codifying county zoning and adoption of a building code to cope with anticipated growth? That is the question. We'll start with Mr. DeMattis, and you have 3 minutes for this.
Well, I kind of touched on this earlier. You know, obviously we're going to continue to see growth in this town. You know, and there's a lot of things that we can address, you know. Obviously, the planning board has to, you know, put some regulations and some zoning together. I think working with the city is going to be paramount to long-term growth in the county. You know, I mean, I've been here 20 plus years and I've seen a lot of different pieces annexed into the city because they wanted city water and sewer. Okay? We need to identify what regulations and what developments, you know, will look to be annexed into the city. And does it make sense? And then what regulations do we put on them? Or do we even maybe have two different sets of plans? If it's, you know, a butting up next to the city property and there's potential to be annexed, do we work with the city to create a whole different planning process for it? Okay. We need to look far down the road. You know, obviously water's an issue. You know, one of the things, you know, and I went to a lot of those water meetings that Bill put together, and it was interesting to me to see the opportunities out there, you know, and there's not a cheap one. You know, what the cheapest opportunity was to pipe water out of DeSmet into the city to the tune of, depending what the number was, anywhere from $1.5 million to $3.5 million, you know. Similarly, some of you guys have heard about the Bull Creek Reservoir project, which would be a long-term solution, but also a very, very costly solution, and would take, you know, it would take city and probably, or state and probably federal money to make. The number on that was anywhere from $160 to $300+ million. And like I said, it would take years to build with the regulations you'd have to go through and all of that. Be a great long-term solution. There's state land out there that they're looking to put it on. You know, who knows what that would look like long-term. But one of the things that I noticed last year, there was several water bills that went through the state, and there were several counties that had their name on the list for water projects, and Johnson County wasn't on there. Okay? Those are the kind of things that we need to do. We need to get the state involved to help us with some of those issues. And I think it's paramount to our long-term success.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Novotny, would you like me to repeat the question? It's short.
No. So first and foremost, as I mentioned earlier, the first thing that we need to do is update that land use planning. And you alluded to zoning, and I'm not in favor of zoning. I think we need to do that update to the land use plan first. There's been a couple of Supreme Court decisions involving a rock quarry in Laramie County and some other things that can be factored in. Hot Springs County has a great plan that we can use as a model that allows for some better use of control. I want to speak to extraterritorial jurisdiction because that is the 1 mile radius around the city of Buffalo where the city and the county have to coordinate. That used to be 5 miles. The legislature shrunk that down because it used to be referred to as the ring of death. where nothing could happen because the cities and the counties couldn't work together. We have an MOU in place with the city of Buffalo on how things are supposed to proceed in that one-mile jurisdiction. When it gets to Mather's Peak, it's a question that the city of Buffalo really just needs to revisit that MOU and work with the developer. Because under our state laws, what is proposed up there cannot happen. They do not have adequate water, and that's why you've seen their application die before the Johnson County Planning Commission. You know, one of the things as annexation occurs, it typically is initiated by the city of Buffalo. We've tried to work on eliminating some of these islands. We've been able to force the city of Buffalo to take a couple of roads that were county roads that were inside the city of Buffalo. I haven't had a lot of success on getting them to take Klondike Drive. And if you look at the good portions of Klondike Drive, that's because of our great road and bridge department. There's a chip seal project going on there right now. So start with updating that plan, open communications with the city of Buffalo. And we also have to remember the town of KC. They don't have a planning board at all. They have a very, very thin crew down there. And if you've been getting the code red announcements of the water problems that they're having down there, we have issues where the commissioners need to step in and help. The reason Johnson County didn't have any water projects in those bills is because we didn't have any. Those go through a process. You get them approved. We have been successful in getting some things done in the past through that process, including the level one study that the state has just completed with Lake Smith and what those future uses are. The county owns municipal rights in there. We could sell those or rent those to the city of Buffalo, maybe to Claremont or the town of Sheridan. Those are things that we have to look at. This Sheridan County also owns municipal water rights in there. Maybe we'll file for a change of use of those before the state board and use them for industrial, like most of the water that's held in Lake Smith. So again, I've got the knowledge and experience to deal with these challenges that we might face.
Okay. Mr. Shelley.
I like your voice there.
You want me to repeat the question?
Let me hear it.
Okay, it's simple. What would you do to ensure proper future planning and codifying county zoning and adoption of a building code to cope with anticipated growth? You have 3 minutes.
I got a short and sweet answer. I'm against all of it. I'm against the building code for the county. I'm against the zoning for the county. I live in the county because I chose to be out there and not have that. You know, some subdivisions have that set up. I don't live in a subdivision. So I think you have to adhere to what your subdivision says, but if you're out on your own without any county or a subdivision, I'm against the zoning on that. I'm just flat out.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Hancock.
I think I'm good.
Okay, 3 minutes.
You know, one of the things that we're always talking about, we know that we're having growth. One of the things I want to understand is what kind of growth are we having? Are we having growth because people are moving here because they're retiring? Are we having growth because people are moving here because they're able to work out of their homes? I think there's a lot of complexity that's associated with that. I can agree with we don't want to do zoning, but we also need to be smart as we know that this population heads towards the county. If it is going to be something like Emerald Park or some of these other communities, maybe zoning does make sense. Because we don't want to be into that situation that Richard had mentioned earlier where we have a bunch of septic and wells. We're going to have to be smart about how we get rid of that waste. And so consolidation is probably that. I do think we're coming into some new territory that we've never seen before as a community. And how do we approach it? Well, the first thing we need to do is identify what are the problems and what are the concerns. You know, maybe there's a size that zoning doesn't have an impact on depending on what your property is or if you're going to do a whole community. Again, there's a lot of variables there. But here's what you're going to get from me. You're going to get fair and equitable. I am going to understand all the different approaches. It'll be up to me to understand how the laws apply to this community and then how do we implement them. Growth sometimes can be painful, and it's something that there are people in this community that don't want to do that. They have private property for a reason. We also need to understand excuse me, we also need to be aware of that and come up with a compromise or understand how we're going to control that moving forward.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Sanford.
I'd really love you to repeat it, but I'll just wing it.
Okay.
I'm against zoning as we speak, but we need to have planning. And I've sold real estate in Sheridan County that has zoning, and I've sold it in Johnson County. And our land planning covers a lot of things. We have to be cognizant of what's happening. And we do have and have had water problems, but right presently, it's the best in my lifetime of having enough water for Buffalo. We have Tyhack, we have three wells, we have land, we have water in Lake DeSmet. I think we need to use our resources. I think we need to sell them to industry. Industry would pay us for things, and we don't need to beg people to come. We want them to pay us to come. But basically, when you get into strict zoning, I take the 3T Ranch is 65 miles from here. It's in Johnson County. And if it was strict zoning, I would have to come up here to the zoning board and ask to build a barn. And on the side of the barn, I might want a chicken coop. And you know what? The ranchers can't afford it and won't go with it. So I think we need planning, but we do not need zoning. And that's my take.
Okay, thank you. Those are your questions. Now, we have a chance for everybody for rebuttal. This is your opportunity. You've heard all of your opponents speak. If there's any specific thing that you would like to address or correct or just speak on that anybody has said, here's your opportunity. It's not necessary. It's only if you guys choose to do so. And 1 minute? 1 minute time limit. And we're going to go in alphabetical order. So, Mr. DeManis, you can go first if you'd like.
Yes, I don't have anything to say about what anybody else has said. I think everything's pretty solid there. I would like to, on my last question, I said zoning, and what I meant was land use. I, too, live in the county, and I live in the county for a reason. I just built a shop, and I didn't have to go in and do anything crazy about it, and I don't expect anybody else to do that. One other thing that I made a point about was, you know, working with the various departments and how do we plan for the future. And one of the things that I don't think we do very well is coordinate as a county all the things that we use. You know, are we using the same insurance program through the various boards and through the special districts and all these different pieces? Are we using gas? Are we buying gas the same way? We're not doing that kind of thing right now. We need to coordinate between all the boards, special districts, to better utilize our money and save tax dollars.
Okay. Mr. Hancock.
You know, I'm just going to add, because I walked away for a minute, but now that I'm back, you know, one of the things that you will always find to me is safety is paramount, that we need to make sure that we have a safe community, that we're not getting into situations where people have to lock the doors. I'm still walking into people's homes that they don't even know where their keys are to even lock the door. So we want to make sure that we can continue to do that. But society is changing. We're seeing things at a level that we probably haven't seen before. The other thing that I like that I've heard in these discussions is mental health. I'm glad to see that the community understands the importance of that. Me personally, that will actually be one of the passions that I bring to this community if they decide to elect me into this position.
Thank you. Mr. Novotny.
So I just, first off, want to talk about IT, because we do have IT. We contract with a company called Digitech. We, at one point, had an IT employee that was dedicated to that. Unfortunately, we lost Brantley money to cancer and couldn't replace him. So we contracted with a company that provides IT for the hospitals, most of the banks, and they do a great job of keeping us safe. The county is self-insured. We offer our insurance to most of the special districts should they choose. It requires simple approval by the commissioners as well as state retirement, should they so choose, if they have full-time employees. Building off mental health, we are very, very involved in that, and I know how hard Title 25s are, and I know that they mentioned this, the Crisis Stabilization Unit, and I'm sorry I didn't have time to talk about the work that we're doing on that to get that built. That was something that was first in its inception about 5 years ago, but we couldn't fund it and build it, and we're very, very close to getting done with the potential of having it available in 2024.
Thank you. Mr. Sanford.
Yes, I am strong on mental health also. I think it would help our community. This problem with so many suicides is just horrible, and it's a mental health problem. But we also need to realize that there's a lot of people moving here, and they want to close the gates behind them, and they want to do it like they did someplace else. Buffalo and Johnson County, we need to be welcome them, but we need to realize that we have a Western way of living and we should keep it.
Okay. Mr. Shelley.
Marv knows she doesn't even have to start her stopwatch when I talk. So, I don't have anything. I honestly don't have anything. I thought everybody did a great job tonight, and I appreciate everybody for being here.
Okay, thank you. It's time for closing statements. This is your opportunity to speak to the voters and make your case. We will go incumbent first. We'll go with Mr. Novotny. You have 1 minute.
Well, thank you again to the sponsors of this. Thank you to my friends and family that are here tonight. It's because of you that I am able to do what I do every day, and I am forever grateful for your love and support. To the listeners at home, thank you for taking the time to learn more about the candidates up here, and these are some great individuals that you'll have to select as your two county commissioners. I think if you look at the knowledge and experience that I bring to the table, I think there is no question that you should ask me to continue to serve as your county commissioner. If you look at the work done to fix the ad valorem tax system, bringing the skilled nursing facility to Johnson County, what we've been able to accomplish at Lake DeSmit, getting rid of that foreign-owned company that had rights there, the potential that now Bull Creek could be done with the land exchange, getting the state funds to do the TW Road project, and the work that I'm presently working on the crisis stabilization. These are projects. I have a plan. I'm sorry I didn't have a chance to address it tonight on how we can look at property tax reform. Follow me on Twitter. Go to my commissioner Facebook page for more information, and I'd be honored to have your vote for re-election. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Now we'll go in alphabetical order. Mr. DeMattis, you have 1 minute.
Well, thank you, Aaron. Thank you, Kate and 307 Net Radio for putting this on. I think it's a great forum, and the more that the community hears from us, the better informed they are to make a decision on who they feel would be best to run this county. And I look for your vote on August 16th. I've been concerned, you know, about the county for quite some time, and just concerned about politics in general. And so I, you know, when I decided to run, I put my time out there. I've been working it hard. There will be nobody who is ready as I am to step into the role as a new county commissioner than I am. I've been going to meetings, like I said, for months. I've been going to a lot of special boards. I've got a lot of experience in business in the past. I've opened new businesses. I have, you know, budgeted, you know, my budget at Amy's Kitchen was over $250 million, okay? That's 10 times the size of the county budget. So I think I can handle a budget. I think I can manage people, and I look for your vote on August 16th. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Hancock, you have 1 minute.
Thank you again for the opportunity to be able to talk to the community. I think one of the things you'll find with me is I'm used to transition. This won't be the first time I've transitioned into a new job. I understand that there's going to be a learning curve and that I need to understand things. My strength is going to be coming from knowing how to work with people, having worked with people before, understanding that there are processes. Even though that I'm not attending meetings, I am reading the minutes of the meeting, so I am aware of what's going on in the community. I am one of those individuals that's a little bit busy, but if this community decides to elect me as a commissioner, then I will definitely be dedicated to this as a full-time job. Finally, you need to remember I'm an electrical engineer. So when it comes to implementing technology, I understand it. And like I said, it's not from a gadget standpoint that I'm going to take a look at things. It's going to be from an efficiency standpoint. You need to look at implementing technology similar to that as brick and mortar.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Sanford, you have 1 minute.
Yes, I just thought I'd tell you that I just saw Lola bend over and stay over longer than I could. And I happen to know how old she is because she's the same age as my mother was. So anyway, good for you, Lola. But I would like to thank the 307 Radio Network.
Do you want me to run for commissioner?
Yeah. I thank all the candidates up here. Have been civil, and it's been a lot of fun, and I will represent you, all of you, even the ones that don't vote for me. If you guys elect me, I will work for everybody. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Shelley, you have 1 minute.
This is the one I've been looking for.
Last one.
I will promise you, my budgeting and business skills are way better than my public speaking skills. This is very painful. I will work hard for you guys. I mean, I'm ready right now. I mean, if I can, you know, be fortunate enough to be elected in this position, I am ready to go to work because that's what I do. I'm just raised to work, and that's all I can offer you. I will work my best for you, or my hardest. Thank you.
Okay. Gentlemen, thank you so much for your time. We have one more thing. We're going to take some questions from the audience if they have any.
Thank you very much, gentlemen. I appreciate it's been a long evening, but you all have important things to share, and these are all important issues that we need to consider when we're thinking about casting our vote. So I appreciate your time, and I appreciate everybody in the room that has sat here so patiently for so long. We do have time for just a couple of questions, if somebody has something. Yes?
I'm from Crazy Woman, and I think I'm as far south from the county as anybody in the room. I have only heard a couple of references to KC, nothing about Powder River, nothing about Hazleton. And I guess the question is, I heard a lot about Buffalo. I live here, I'm voted here, I'm part of the community here. But I'm curious as to what your relationship can be with people when we don't have anybody from there even here.
So, for the purposes of people who may not have been able to hear that, the question came from the back of the room. The question is, how are you going to represent and speak for all people across this broad geographical area that is Johnson County, not just focus on the population base? Mr. Sanford, if you'd like to go first.
Margaret, when I leased your place over there, I knew everybody out there. But anyway, I think that I know Casey really well, and I think I know northern Johnson County also. I think that we are a wonderful community in that if there's somebody from Casey wants something, I'll be down there to help them. Thank you.
Mr. Damascus?
I would like to suggest that, you know, as well as putting meetings online, is maybe we take a quarterly meeting in KC, you know, and get that community involved, you know, as well as other areas. I mean, it's going to be a population-based piece, but I think we could take meetings to KC on a regular basis. I know the Rural Health Board does it periodically. You know, there's no reason why the county can't do it as well.
Mr. Hancock?
You know, you bring up a lot of good questions there. And one of the things you'll find with me is making myself available. I don't know all the nooks and crannies in Johnson County. And I look at myself as being somebody that has to be responsible to identify those areas where you are remote. But on the same token, that we also need to be, it's also up to those people in the remote areas to say, hey, we're here. These are the issues that we have. You know, you do have to identify as an individual for your community where you need to get the help.
Mr. Navoni?
Well, it's a great question, and I think if you look at some of the successes we've had in reference to Hazleton Road, with the parking lot, we went out of our way to engage the folks, and you saw the turnout that was there to discuss the long-range plan for that parking lot. Sheriff Kozacek is right here. One of the best things that we did was partner with the town of KC when they decided to not replace their law enforcement person, which now means that we have two deputies down there, which increases response time down there. We also spent the money to make sure that both of those deputies are certified deputy coroners so that we can make sure that those resources are available when there's a tragedy down there. I've got family down in KC. I spend a lot of time there. As chairman, one of the nice things that I get to do is make appointments. And I've made sure that each of the commissioners has at least one board that they are the liaison to that's from KC. So it's our goal to represent everybody, and I think I've done that very well.
Mr. Shelley, do you have anything to add?
Well, you know, coming through the meat plan over the last 20 years, I've had relationships with everybody from south, north, east. I mean, everybody has been through the, I mean, we went from just a regular plant to the largest meat plant in Wyoming. And so I've had communications. They all know that I'm very approachable, and I'm there for them if they need.
Thank you. I'll take one more question.
I'd like to know why we have just three commissioners. Would five be easier to work with because they'd be spread out in a...
Thank you. Thank you. That's a great question. So the question is three commissioners proficient for our community, or should we think about expanding to five, and is that even possible? Mr. Sanford.
I take Hot Springs County, for instance, because we had some ranches there. They had five county commissioners, and the cost, and they were smaller in population than we are here in Johnson County, the cost and the time didn't warrant it. They do much better, get more done with three than they did with five. And I don't know what's happening in Calhoun County, but they've been, you know, things are, that when there's five, you got to be a bigger county and bigger population.
Thank you. Any other comments, Mr. Novotny? Yeah.
So under state statute, you can either have three or five commissioners. That can then be changed by a vote of the people. If you look at Sublette County, they went from five commissioners down to three, and recently they've gone back to five. There's 97 commissioners across the state. They're part of the Wyoming County Commissioners Association. I'm proud to say I'm the vice president of that. So it would really be up to the people. But I'll tell you that three commissioners work very well, because we have to work together and work for the common good. So I would, I guess, resist the temptation that thinks that just because you grow government, you're going to get better government. And in this system, you've got to convince at least one of the other commissioners to go along with you to get anything done, because that's the way it takes two votes really to do anything. A solid working relationship amongst those three. And you're not going to agree on everything, and whether you have three commissioners or five commissioners. It comes down to how you want to work with the other people and realize their strengths and their weaknesses.
Thank you.
You know, I really don't have anything to add. I guess my first question is why would we want to go to five commissioners? Like Bill just said, does extra government mean it's better government? Not necessarily. So with that said, though, I would think it's the community that has to make that decision. And I would think it would be around population and municipalities that we have to provide. And having enough people to be able to make sure that we're listening to the community and understanding what's going on. But the way Johnson County is today, I don't see where it would make sense to have five commissioners at this time.
Thank you. Mr. Demasius?
Yeah, I'm just going to concur with everybody, what they've said, but I will say the key to that is everybody's got to work together. Everybody has to do their job. Everybody has to understand what's going on with the various boards and special districts, and they've got to communicate. And as long as they're communicating, it shouldn't be an issue whether there's three or five. Five's going to bring a bigger tax roll. Do we really want that? Probably not.
Mr. Shelley?
I agree with what everybody said. We're all on the same page there.
Thank you. So I'd just like to remind everybody that if you haven't heard something that you think you might want to hear about, it may have been covered in our individual interviews with each of the candidates, which are available on 307netradio.com on the elections page. There is also, each candidate has submitted up to 500 words that they wanted you to know about themselves, and I encourage you to go there and then to continue to drop back into the website for more coverage as we go forward into the election. So thank you very much for coming. It's been a long evening. Excuse me?
Is there a way to contact the candidates, like by email or something?
I can certainly put up, I will do that, I can put up contact details for each of the candidates on those pages so that you can find out how to reach them individually. Yes, I will do that. Thank you for
or
that
Or if
suggestion.
You want to take the time after the
yeah.
this?
They are
I'll
here in front of you right now.
Answer some questions as well.
Yes, I will do that. Thank you. Thank you very much, everybody, for a lovely evening.